come to films like the first time.
What is that voice?
Why?
I think that's an amalgamation of every accent.
That's all the characters in the
movie?
It was like
the priest and like Triumph the Insult Comic Dog.
And also Marvelous Max, I think.
a little bit. Yeah.
Or Miracle Max.
Miracle. I mean,
there you go, Miracle Max.
I don't care if he's Max Headroom.
I would care if he was Max Headroom.
That would have been better. Hey man, I did just see the down the street Back to the Future 2 coming to a theater near us.
Oh, nice.
And Max Headroom, big part in that diner.
But is Christopher Lloyd going to be there completely oblivious to what's happening around him and then fall asleep like last time?
We can hope.
Yeah.
That was interesting.
But that's not what we're here to talk about.
That is not what we're talking about. No, we're talking about...
The Princess Bride!
That was
weird.
We're
just going to stick with that, are we?
No, okay.
Only when it is required.
Well, you know, so Nick picked this movie.
Yep.
Dave is the one who hadn't seen it, and we can tell that Dave was very excited to watch it,
also,
and that he clearly enjoyed it.
Also, can we say, way to be in the fucking holiday spirit. We're in October, and you...
I wanted him to pick a creepy movie. He didn't pick a creepy movie. I'm not going to lie.
He just picked a movie with creepy people.
I was to say, Vizzini's not creepy enough for
you? I didn't rewatch this because I've been watching creepy movies, and I've seen this like half a dozen times, so I feel like I can talk about it without having just seen it
hopefully
again.
Hopefully my recap
helps
you.
Well, Hector and I just rewatched it like a couple months ago.
I watched it last night to make sure I was fresh.
I watched the...
For our two listeners.
I watched the... I don't know. It was on... I was watching it on Disney, so they're commercial breaks. I got about through the second commercial break, and I was like, this was last night, and I'm like, I can't... I'm not gonna be fair about this if I don't stop now. Because I felt like I was descending into like a meaner place that
okay.
Were you high? The Princess Bride while high is probably a fun experience.
I had a headache.
Oh.
And
in the first half hour is like all inconceivable.
Yeah, it's all shouting.
Inconceivable.
It's all shouting in the shrillest, most irritating shit I've ever.
So you were not in a Wallace Shawn mood, is what you're saying?
You know what?
Didn't he just pass away recently?
No, he's still alive.
Okay, I don't know why I thought something.
Oh, because
came
last
out...
time I saw him, he looked dead.
Well, aww. He was on Young Sheldon, but like something came out about him recently. I don't know why I thought that.
I saw
he
him...
passed away, or maybe he had a birthday. Those are two very different
are
things.
They?
But maybe he had a birthday. Aww. I just remember like seeing like Wallace Shawn on Facebook.
I saw him on I don't know some. He was giving political opinions. Or for some reason.
Interesting.
Somebody bothered to talk to him about this.
Yeah.
Apparently, the guy who played Cockroach
on Bill Cosby?
On Cosby Show.
Because that's
busy.
The first thing I think I ever saw him on was the Cosby Show.
Me too. And he had that weird mute son.
Was he Peter's father?
Yes.
Oh my goodness. Okay. I couldn't remember what character he played because, you know.
He was the white one.
For obvious reasons, I haven't seen the Cosby Show in a very long time.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, I'm not going to. It looked like the Cosbys lived in a pretty gentrified neighborhood, if I do say so myself. But he was a doctor. But they were both doctors, so.
Doctor. Like, doctor.
They had fuck you money.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Claire was a lawyer.
Yeah.
Right.
She really had fuck you money.
Yeah.
It's too bad I can't watch that show anymore without feeling
weird.
Because
I'm still going to watch.
It was a classic, man.
I don't think
you can find it anymore.
If I see Fat Albert somewhere, you damn sure I'm going to be sitting down and watching it.
But, you know, that's the hard part is the Cosby Show. You can't watch it anymore, really. And part of it is because it's not just that
it
stars Bill Cosby. It's called the Cosby Show.
Yeah.
And the hard part about that is it ate up such a huge chunk of Felicia Rashad's career. And she's great.
She's been doing a lot of good work lately.
She was the movie's not great. The Beekeeper, she was great in it.
She's very memorable in like the Creed series.
Yes.
She's very strong in that.
So yeah, that's the
and
sad
I
part
thought
to
she
me.
Retired. So
right.
So I was like, wait, is that fucking Felicia Rashad?
She's like, people aren't going to remember me from The Cosby Show anymore, so I need to do some more stuff.
Maybe she was able to separate herself from being Claire Huxtable. Like, I feel like people always just saw her as Claire Huxtable. Like, you know, amen. People all called all of those actors. Like, oh, it's Theo Huxtable. It's Rudy Huxtable.
Yeah.
Anyway, true. We're talking about The Princess Bride.
There are no Huxtables in this.
There are no Huxtables in
it's
this.
It's very non-Huxtable.
Maybe some Huxters, but no Huxtables.
So, we get it. We see Kevin Arnold laying in bed.
In a Bears jersey.
In a Bears jersey. No Daniel Stern voiceovers. But we get something not nearly as good. Peter Falk.
What? Peter Falk is a treasure.
Peter Falk plays Peter Falk as Peter Falk.
As Columbo as Peter Falk, yeah.
Right. I later refer to him as Columbo's originals.
Okay.
Because he's, you know, grandpa.
I get it.
Would probably give you those gross butterscotches.
I like butterscotch.
I kind of like butterscotch.
It's it's butter toffee all the way.
Anyway. Okay.
I had some butterscotch whiskey the other day. Not like, it was whiskey aged in butterscotch barrels.
By Peter Falk.
It wasn't super butterscotchy. It just had like hint of.
Thanks.
Anyway.
Hold on. Let's get a quick body count on the cast. No, let's do that as we go.
Andre.
Let's do it as we go.
Well, this movie is like almost 40 years old, isn't it?
Yeah, it is 86 or 87, something like that.
87.
Yeah.
Coincidentally, it came out the same year as Spaceballs and was almost the same movie, except not as good. But that's my...
I mean, I love Spaceballs, so I'm not going to argue
that's
about
my over,
Spaceballs.
That's kind of my overall...
I prefer this to Spaceballs.
I'm going
to
really?
Do... Yeah. I guess I just gave my ending at the beginning, but spoilers.
I think it's a different audience, though. I think
it is.
It's playing
for
a different audience.
For sure.
I've also read this book.
This is... Yeah.
I will say that the wedding scene in Spaceballs is 10 times better than the wedding scene in this movie.
And I literally was like, this is the same fucking scene.
And I don't know why people quote the wedding scene
Mallage.
In this movie all the time. Yeah, the marriage...
You know what? To be fair, I didn't know that until watching this.
Yeah.
And I was like, but there's a few things in this where I was like, oh, that's where that's from.
Like, anybody want a peanut?
Anybody want a peanut?
Actually, I've never heard that before. Until this movie.
Wow.
No, because nobody ever has to ask me. I'm just going to eat a peanut.
Okay.
But I didn't realize that this was the prequel to The Wizard. Because Kevin Arnold's in there playing video games.
Oh, that's funny.
And my reaction to having to listen to an old man read is the same as Kevin Arnold's. Like, I was in here playing video games, and this old man just came in here and started bothering me with this sappy
You never just
story.
Have an old guy walk into your room and start reading a story?
Not really, no. Not even anyone I've been related to.
I usually pay extra for
also,
that.
Also, I could read, but you know, by the time when I was two, so I didn't really need anybody to read me anything. How old is this fucking kid? He's like 7.
I would say he's like 8 or 9.
Even worse, you can't read your own book, you little slow.
He's sick.
He can lift up his fucking juice box, though, can he?
A lot of people like. excuse me. A lot of people like. I get
there. She got choked up.
A lot of people like to be read to.
Yeah.
It's Nick, you listen to audiobooks. That's literally you being read to.
I said I pay extra for it. I told you.
Anyway.
So old man Falk starts it's not even on here. Starts reading the story of what is the movie?
Wesley and Buttercup.
Oh, I just kept calling him Farm Boy.
Because she calls him Farm Boy?
And it stuck for me.
That's fair. That's
Princess
fair.
Buttercup. She's not always Princess Buttercup, though.
So, yeah. So, we've got Farm Boy. Yeah, so the kid is like has this look on his face like, what the fuck is this man reading to me?
Yeah.
Farm Boy, Buttercup, what the fuck?
Well, he had the same attitude going into this story as you did, Dave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see. And Kevin Arnold are the same person.
Hey, there are pictures of me that you would swear were Fred Savage.
I've seen pictures of you as a kid. I can believe it.
Especially when my hair was full and luscious and
curly. Dave is a cute kid.
Oh,
gee, thanks, but I get a humble brag and a backhanded compliment.
What? That you were a cute kid?
Yeah.
Okay.
But also, like Kevin Arnold, I agree that Murder by Pirates is good.
Depends on the pirates and the murder, I think.
Well, in this case.
Fair enough.
Well, actually, I didn't really even know what was going on. I really just wanted something bad to happen to Wallace Shawn. I don't care. I didn't.
Well, you're supposed to.
But I didn't even care if he got hurt. I just wanted him to not be able to talk.
Imagine being Andre the Giant and Mandy Patinkin in those scenes.
But unfortunately, we start with an arranged marriage. But luckily, Lone Star was there to whisk her off her feet.
Lone Star. Nope.
Just Wallace Shawn and Andre the Giant with his Vulcan neck pinch.
It was a Vulcan neck pinch. Andre is so great.
Performance is somehow the most realistic.
It's so honest and endearing. Because he's just being himself. And he's having fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, he really does seem like he's enjoying the shit out of it.
See, this is one of the things I knew that even if you didn't like the movie, like you would at least appreciate like Andre's part in it.
Because at this point in Andre's life, he was in pain all the time.
But you can tell he was enjoying himself making the movie.
He looked like he would have in like the 70s when he was wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like,
what was wrong with Andre?
Like everything.
It was
a genetic something.
Because
as far as you know, quote unquote giants go, like there are so many people that are much larger than him.
He had a lot of spinal issues.
But he had the like Cro-Magnon looking skull and like that voice and whatever.
You're right. It was
like a glandular issue or something.
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
Anybody want to?
But every story you hear about Andre was that he was like the sweetest guy who also drank a ton and got lots of action.
Yeah, dude would just like. Pound a 36 pack.
He seems
and be
safe,
like,
so I get that.
Yeah.
But it really was nice to see, like, because when I saw Andre the Giant around this time, you know, it was wrestling, like he was a bad guy. So I never, so I didn't really get to experience that jovial thing until I could watch like archive stuff. And
there's just that whole trope of like people that play bad guys are usually the nicest people in real life.
And it was nice knowing how like he was battling a lot at this time that to see it won't see that's where the weed comes in, Amanda. You feel something. It might not be the desired thing, but I also nearly cried at watching this girl testify against her boyfriend at a murder trial. So I was like,
I mean, I could see why that might make you emotional.
Well, she was super empathetic, and even though she's wearing a it's during COVID, so she's got a mask, and she has a hard time breathing because of the mask, but she like anytime like you can see how painful she's retching.
Mm. So
anyway,
what you're saying is you do have feelings, and now I'm wondering, Nick, as you were like, he got a lot of action. So do you think? Is Andre the Giant appropriate or still too mainstream for a Hear Me Out cake?
No, I think he's appropriate for Hear Me Out cake. Just because love Andre to death, he is not a visually stunning
person. He's
not
handsome.
And so I think he works for a Hear Me Out cake.
Okay.
In that sense. Because it is. It's Andre the Giant, people are like, what? And you're like, Hear Me Out. He was a sweet guy. He was fun. He was jovial. He liked to party, but not in a bad way.
Like I said, he, especially in this movie, you know,
he was a philanderer.
He seems safe. He seems like he would pass that test of like, who would you feel safe, like locked in a room with? Right. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know what, Nick? I don't know if Ben Franklin, was too, is really an argument for anything.
I mean,
when you consider
like a cool guy.
Hey, well, this dude owned slaves. Well, so
Nick
Jeff.
Has a
he
weird
he did,
man
and then
crush
he freed
on
his,
Ben Franklin.
Then he freed his slaves and became an abolitionist later in life.
I think Nick really has a crush on the Ben Franklin impersonator from The Office.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That guy was hot.
And okay. He was totally going to bag Pam at the end of that episode.
I feel weird
totally.
Now. Let's
Him
move
and
on.
Toby.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sort of a related question. Would you rather be Vulcan neck pinched or Humperdinked?
Vulcan neck pinch. Fuck Humperdinck.
Yeah. I mean, well, nobody wants to do that.
I mean, I don't, and that's up to your imagination, whatever.
Even though Humperdinck is arguably more handsome. Nobody wants to get Humperdinck.
Arguably.
He looks like, what's his face?
He looks like every, like, shitty 80s movie dickhead. Like if James Spader was ugly.
Yeah, but he looks like, what's his face from, like, Clash of the Titans.
I've never really found James Spader that handsome, but.
Well, I just mean, like, this dude's more, like, I don't know. He's got, like, weird contours.
What's the guy's name from Clash of the Titans?
I don't know.
I don't know.
He looks
like the original?
Yeah, the original.
With the claymation? Yes. I've seen it, and I don't know who you're talking about.
Oh, Ray Harryhausen.
No, the guy who played the lead, Perseus.
Fuck you. Like, I'm going to remember that.
I'm going
to... I'm fairly certain I wouldn't even know.
Nick's going to Google. Dave, continue with your summary.
All right, so... whatchamacallit, the fuck, I did not take very good notes, and that was a bad idea. While Sean, Andre, and the other
Harry,
musket, and the
Harry
other
Hamlin,
and the other, okay. Oh,
yeah, he looks like Harry Hamlin.
Harry Hamlin looks like a psychopath.
Yes, and so does Humperdinck.
Yeah. you got me all.
Sorry.
Flummoxed.
I'm all Hamlin.
Humper Hamlin.
I've been Hamlin.
You've been ham housed.
All right, so the trio of not Doom, but
Dumb?
Yeah, okay. The trio of Dumb are taking the princess, or the soon-to-be princess. She is a princess.
They have to elevate her to princess.
Right, because she was a commoner to begin with. And,
which is the one
And somehow that
problem,
entitles her to calling people farm boy.
Which is the one problem I have with this movie. Like, I feel like that's not a thing that they did, where they're just like, hey.
They're royals. They can do whatever the fuck they want.
Here's this commoner. We're going to make her a princess so that she can marry Prince Humperdinck.
I mean,
it's sort of King Ralphie.
It's kind of a Knight's Tale, too.
Also, totally true movie.
Great movie, though. Well, let's be fair.
I didn't love that movie nearly as much as everybody else did.
I've never seen it. Don't put it on the list.
I might put it on the list.
Wait, what is it again?
It's Heath Ledger
and Shannon Sossaman.
And
oh, then,
Paul
you
Bettany
know what?
And Alan Tudyk and Robert Baratheon
to be
from
fair,
Game of Thrones.
If it has Shannon Sossaman, I had a thing.
Yeah.
So I was.
Everybody had a thing.
Hector and I watched
Rules of Attraction.
Rules of Attraction the other day. And I was like, oh, this movie traumatized me because they advertised it as a comedy, and then I went to see it, and it's
that's
a Bret Easton Ellis story. Yeah. It is not a comedy.
Do you know what Bret Easton Ellis in comedy means?
Well, here's the thing. When I was, you know, 18 and that movie came out, no, I had no idea who he was.
I think that was everybody's reaction to that movie.
Expect to laugh only when you really shouldn't.
But I asked him, I was like, I wonder whatever happened to Shannon Sossaman, because she was in like everything in the early 2000s, and he's like, I've never seen her in anything, and I named a bunch of the stuff that she's in, and of course he hasn't seen any of it, but...
Oh, that's the one with the Queen song and
the
Knight's Tale?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Paul Bettany plays Geoffrey Chaucer.
I'll be honest, I don't think I watched the whole thing.
Fair enough.
But I know I watched it, and I didn't like it enough to remember hardly anything about it.
I mean, it's historically completely bullshit.
Oh, yeah. It's...
But it's not trying to be. But my point is this. I think, in that sense, Princess Bride falls under that, too. They're telling a very simple story in this movie.
It's a fairy tale.
It's a fairy tale.
Not, yeah.
They understand that they're not, like, giving us depth and full logic for everything. And that's okay with them as they make this movie.
I feel like this was my defense for some of my favorite childhood classics that I chose.
This is better than some of those
like,
that you chose.
You know,
Let's not get hasty.
I just saw today a post about The Last Unicorn on my Facebook feed, and a grown adult man that I went to high school with is the one that posted it talking about how it was a childhood favorite. So I think it's just you two that hate that movie.
It's also that we didn't grow up having watched it then.
I guess.
Which is we're going to run into
it's that
here.
Terrible.
I didn't watch this until I was older.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know how old I was the first time I saw Princess Bride.
Mostly because there's two movies that are like theater kid movies. This and Grease are really like those movies that theater kids.
Oh,
like,
theater kids.
Yeah,
theater kids.
I'm thinking like... I went to the theater a lot.
No, not that kind.
I saw fucking Goonies. It was
awesome. Not R-E, not E-R.
I understand. Yes.
I actually can't even enjoy Grease anymore because I got burnt out on it as a theater kid because it was everywhere.
Here's the thing. Grease is not a good movie.
No.
Tell me more. Tell me more.
You know, I think if you just remove John Travolta from that equation now, it's a lot more pleasurable.
I think that's the same thing for just about everything.
Not Pulp Fiction.
Except, yeah, I was going to say that's the exception because he gets shot in coming out of the toilet.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
That's like my Kurt Russell theory. See, Tarantino breaks all the rules.
He's just kicking down doors because he likes feet.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the best part of that movie. He wants to
see the feet kick down the door.
He made me a foot guy in that.
Oh, man.
Any foot that goes through the face of Kurt Russell is a fave of mine. And it didn't hurt that it was Rosario Dawson.
Let's get back to the movie.
Well, so where are we?
They haven't even gotten out of the boat yet.
Yeah, we've literally barely started.
So Andre docks them because he's strong enough to do so.
Mm-hmm.
So now the pirate that's chasing them will...
The Dread Pirate Roberts?
Yeah, that one. The DPR.
Kerry Elway?
The DP, is that how you say that?
I think it's Elway.
That's how I say it. I've never heard him say his own name, so I'm not
like
sure.
I might have once, and I feel like that's what that Nick, how Nick said it.
Yeah, Elway's? I think it's Elway.
And I can't be sure.
Elway's also, Elway. I've always just said Elway. I don't know. S feels like it should be silent.
He also has
but...
like six first names.
And does he?
Oh, he has four.
I always just call him Robin with lots.
He has four, and they're all better than Kerry. Like,
yeah.
Like, there's Simon, Ivan, I think is one. Ivan Elvis.
That sounds like a place kicker from the 1990s.
I think Chiefs, I think.
My nose is running.
So now that the Congrats. Now that they're docked, they have to traverse their way through. No, that's right. They're not even at the dock yet. They have to toss a. Or a princess tries to swim to the pirate.
In eel-infested waters.
In shrieking eels, and excessive exposition is heaped upon Princess Buttercup. And then it's back to Columbo's originals, where I don't know, there's some interruption for some reason. And that's when I'm like, oh, so that's...
He thinks she's going to die, I think is what it is.
But, yeah... But that's when I'm like, okay, that's how we're doing this.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so now we're going to have this occasional narrator. But I did like how he's narrating it. And, like, you see, like, it's happening as he's saying it. And, like, it connects.
Yeah.
I did like that little moment for storytelling purposes. So then Andre docks them. And he climbs them all, or he climbs up a rope with everyone hanging on to him.
Yep.
Now, anyone who saw Andre in the main event of WrestleMania 3 knows there's no way he can climb a rope up a mountain on his own, let alone supporting three other people.
Wow.
He got caught in the ropes.
But he's a character in this.
He got caught in the ropes.
He broke kayfabe on this movie.
I really want Wallace Shawn incapacitated somehow because he's too grating.
Inconceivable.
I can't even attempt to enjoy this as long as he's on. Yeah, I can't even attempt to enjoy this as long as he's on screen.
You know what I love though is about this is as annoying as his character is, as Vizzini is, the fact that Fezzik and Inigo basically just carry on their own while he's talking and doing stuff is great.
You're just like, whatever.
Hey, man. They've tuned
him out already.
Well, it's not like... You have to think they've been hearing this for a while.
Yeah.
They're like... And they're just the two...
Just there for the paycheck, really.
Yeah. I don't know. It seems like... Seems like the Musketeer, which I kept putting.
Inigo.
Inigo Montoya. He seems scared of Wallace Shawn for some reason.
Well, I don't think he's scared. I think.
He's definitely leery. He doesn't want to. He doesn't seem to want to go against the man at all. Like,
well, the guy is the only reason he's not drunk.
Yeah. Well, yeah, which we see later on what a mess he is when he is. So we find that the pirate is climbing up after them. Obviously, it's Farm Boy.
You
can see him from 10 miles away. Like, that's definitely...
It was a non-secret, for sure.
You can see that beautiful blonde hair.
And that tiny little mustache.
And that foot caught in a bear trap.
I did just watch Saw the other day.
Saw 1's the only one that's good.
It is one of the best horror movies, but yeah, the rest of the franchise kind of ruined it. But, well, we rewatched it in a "Is this still good?" kind of thing, and then when I told my husband that, I was like, "Oh yeah, I didn't rewatch Princess Bride because I've seen it so many times, and I was in a horror mood before this podcast." He's like, "Well, you know, you just watched him in Saw, so same thing." Yeah, same thing.
I mean, we just rewatched. We watched him in the Crush.
Oh my gosh!
In June.
That was what? You had never seen The Crush.
I had. It just been
because
a long time.
It was on. And
that's not a good reason.
That's literally it. It was on. We were tired.
The option is also to turn off the television.
Was that the night that we got In-N-Out? We're just like, let's just
eat
In-N-Out and watch The Crush until we fall asleep on the couch.
Well, that I understand, though.
Yeah.
But anyway, so he's obviously the one trying to climb the rope since unlike other Robin Hoods, this one speaks with an English accent.
Could you understand after watching this movie, like Mel Brooks just going, yeah, he's Robin Hood?
I felt like...
This is how he got picked for Robin Hood, right?
Yeah.
I imagine that Mel Brooks looked at a lot of this movie and was like, what the fuck? I feel like I've been doing this.
That's fair.
Well, to be fair, it is directed by Rob Reiner, who's the son of Carl Reiner, who is Mel Brooks' old writing partner.
Yeah, but like a meathead... Can't
like a meathead. Speaking of, Norman Lear produced this movie.
I had literally earlier in the day gotten into a conversation about like the importance of Norman Lear.
Hugely important. He was the producer of.
He created All in the Family.
Yeah, Jefferson.
Never watched it.
Good Time.
Never watched it.
But like TV shows that changed the world.
Yeah.
Like,
okay.
The way changed the way TV was done. Like he was hugely influential. And so it's
a very progressive. Yeah,
I've never watched any. I think they were too
old.
Too old, and also probably for me growing up too, you know, edgy for anything I would have been allowed to watch.
That's fair.
You're only a year younger than me.
Yeah, but you grew up in the country.
My mom didn't let me watch Looney Tunes because it was too violent.
Was I going to say it?
I did.
My parents aren't like that.
I'm just saying.
But it was the 80s.
My parents have always been a little naive when it comes to stuff like that, but never hateful. Shows
I think the first time I saw What's
all
Happening.
All the black shows were the great. What's Happening is my fucking favorite.
We first time I saw it, I was like, what is this? Show all the time.
That's wholesome bullcrap.
That's white people, black people show.
Right. I just said gentrified black people. Bullshit. Fucking What's Happening? That's the real shit.
That is the real shit. As... A bunch of white people sitting around microphones talking.
I can't tell you how many years I would walk into a place and turn my chair around like Dwayne.
Yeah. That was the coolest thing, turning your chair around.
that show was only magic, mostly magic, because Shirley and Rerun just call each other fat names and it's great.
Okay. Doesn't sound like my cup of tea.
Honestly, I probably wouldn't like it watching it now.
Well, see,
I don't think it would hold up. At the time, I loved it.
I think I'd still like it.
Fair enough.
So Inigo and there's a nice little humorous Monty Python exchange that they have.
Oh, I love this scene, like the build up to the sword fight.
Yeah,
the way, like the mutual respect and like, but also the cocky arrogance of both of them in it is great.
Unfortunately, it gets taken a little too far as it extends into the fight.
Mm-hmm.
And the fight is, I appreciate like how later on that it pays off for it to be that choreographed,
mm-hmm.
so that it can be easy, so that it can be recalled back to us in a later scene with Humperdinck.
The style of sword fighting is definitely of the, like, Errol Flynn era. Yeah. Like, and it's well-crafted, but it is very much, yeah,
it's just a bit over.
I mostly got distracted in the scene by being able to see the springboards under the dirt.
My favorite is the fact that they had the bar.
I noticed them.
Yeah. The bar that they both did flips off of.
Yep.
I'm like, that was just shamelessly like, yeah, we're just gonna make it. We're just gonna put it there, and people will be like, well, that's a gymnastics bar. Why is that there? Yeah, it is.
Why not?
So yeah, I couldn't. After the conversation, I'm like, so are they actually fighting to the death, or is this just like sparring? What is this?
Yes and yes, it feels like. Like, I think they both went in with the intent of, I plan on killing you, even though, like...
This was their stepbrothers, did we just become best friends moment.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it was.
I think it's the moment where Inigo switches to his right hand, and goes, I'm not left-handed, and then, like 2 weeks later...
I hated that joke. I have to say, I'm like... I mean, if you're gonna counter with something else, it should be like, I don't need any hands, and then he starts fighting with his feet.
That was a little too over the top. Or even
put the sword in your mouth and do it. I mean, it's a bit over, but it's like, to come back. It's just I don't like that. If you're gonna win, you should.
I like the simpleness of that one-upsmanship.
But it's not even one-upsmanship, because it's just like anteing or calling.
Again, okay. This was the did we just become best friends moment.
Yeah, but he ends up, but...
And he doesn't want to, you don't want to embarrass...
But Farm Boy does beat him.
He does beat him.
So I feel like since they're so evenly matched, it would make more, well, yeah, I guess if they're going to be friendly later.
They're not going to be enemies.
Yeah.
This is where
we have to like all these characters.
This is where me and Kevin Arnold too now.
This is again, I feel like I've said this so many times throughout this podcast. This is a kids' movie. We don't need the like dark, angsty, like push and pull, anti-heroism. No, these guys are gonna be friends.
Well, this is also about when I called it a night.
Dave clearly wanted The Princess Bride, directed by
Quentin Tarantino?
No, what's his name? From like directed Seven.
I don't want to see these people's feet.
Oh Fincher.
Yeah, David Fincher directed Princess Bride.
No.
Seven is great.
Closer
movie,
to those are maybe I want more John Woo, if anything.
John Woo, that would be fun.
All of a sudden some doves showed up and...
Oh, John Woo.
Why does the Dread Pirate Roberts have two pistols?
But yeah, because right after this, there was my commercial break. So I was like, nope.
After the sword fight, you were like, I need to take a
break.
Well,
it actually was after the prance away. and then I turned it on this morning, and it's Humperdinck.
Oh, because he's like, there was a sword fight.
I like the bit.
Yeah,
but he's just so like, I mean, it's so over the top unlikable.
But he's supposed to be.
No, I get it.
Well, that's why Christopher Guest spends the entire movie just looking at him with just. Animosity, like disgust and
incredulity.
He looks at everyone like that. To be fair,
well, to be fair, he's
that's
like
just his face.
That's because he's like, if I directed this movie, it'd all be improvised.
I like some Christopher Guest movies. Some.
You haven't seen Spinal Tap, though, have you?
No, I haven't.
Best in Show.
I've seen Best in
Show.
You like Best in Show.
I do like Best in Show.
Do you like Waiting for Guffman?
I've not seen that one.
Oh, I liked Waiting for
you
Guffman.
You like Waiting for Godot.
I do, which is why I like Waiting for Guffman, because it's a riff on it.
I would wait for Godot as well. And I'll be waiting forever.
Not Godot.
I had this conversation with somebody earlier today about, like, you should be allowed to pronounce your fucking name however you
no,
want.
No, I'm just saying, like...
Because I know people who say their last name different than their other people in their family because they don't like how it sounds.
Yeah, my family is like that.
How does your family...
Well, to be fair, it's not necessarily a pronunciation, it's a spelling.
Oh.
Two G's?
No, there's an N thrown in by some people.
Matarangas?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Oh. It's gross.
It does.
Well, but it's not your last name. It's their last name.
Yeah, but it's the U.S. government's fault.
I mean, probably.
It sounds,
it sounds like a monk fruit kind of a thing.
Oh, yeah. Like, hey, you got a bunch of matarangas here.
I mean, it. Yeah.
You're like, hey, Alex, crack it open. Ah, it smells like death.
That's fair. If you crack me open, I smell like that.
That would make sense because you'd be dead.
Depends on where you crack me open.
Oh, boy. Moving on. I can't imagine why no one listens to our podcast.
We get the battle of wits to the death.
Oh, so you're skipping the strength portion where
he beats Andre?
Yeah, where he beats Andre.
That was bullshit.
I mean, it wasn't a properly executed sleeper hold.
Well, also, it's like, I don't buy that explanation that normally I have to punch 800 people.
I kind of liked that.
Maybe I just wanted, after seeing Andre so happy, I didn't want to see him lose.
You didn't want to see him get choked
out. I would have been fine if he would have been like, if he would have heard Farm Boy out and been like, you know what is good, you go ahead. That's terrible. I don't even know what that was. I can't get my voice that low. It's impossible.
The battle of the wits.
So now that he's defeated two of the triad of dumb, thankfully, I'm like, this is my favorite. Like this probably 10 minutes is probably my favorite part of the whole movie.
It's a good scene.
Well, it's very satisfying.
Yes.
I like the fact that at the end of it, they're both poisoned.
Yes.
Because, like, it feels more earned.
Because he cheated?
He didn't cheat.
I mean, he did. He cheated the
but,
logic
like, it's
it.
It's a, well, it's a willingness
mm-hmm.
to go as far as you need to. Look, it's obvious that Wallace Shawn is the shittiest person ever.
So, do you feel
and
like-
he's got a knife to your love's neck.
Yeah.
You poison that shit. Especially since you've got your sort of built immunity on your side.
So since he actually beat a Sicilian with life on the line, do you think next he's going to go and do a land war in Asia?
No, he's going to get conquered by the Moors.
Ooh. Not the Moops?
No. It did go on a little too long, as you would think.
That's fair.
That's actually kind of the...
I think that was part of the joke, though.
I get it, but it's like... And I know it's for kids, so it's hard... Again, I don't have the sentimental attachment of having seen this and connected with it on the lower level, so to speak.
It's like the carrot on the string. Like, it's like... But it's like, oh, you got it. No.
But it's like trying to
you almost had it. Got to be quicker than that.
But it's like trying to do Monty Python.
It's softer. Well, so I actually thought about Monty Python
Monty
when I was
Python
watching
for
it last
kids?
Night. It's taking.
Yeah, maybe that's why it doesn't work. Dumb down Monty Python.
Well, I think it's really taking the ridiculous of Monty Python and then harvesting into a movie that is crafted better as a film, like visually and. Like,
you're
logic
talk shit
wise,
about Terry Gilliam.
I love Monty Python. Don't get me wrong,
I don't.
And 12 Monkeys.
But if you talk about Monty Python, those movies are amazing, but they are a hot fucking mess.
They're also meant to be that way.
Yes, and so this was like,
and in
we're
a way,
gonna take that sensibility,
you know,
and bring it into something that had some logic.
There's a lot to that with the narration, and
right?
So there's a breaking of the fourth wall.
One of my favorite moments is the breaking of the fourth wall in this movie. We haven't gotten there yet.
Something that I've noticed that I was just thinking about, like, where are we even at in this movie right now? Okay, we skipped the boat and the sea eels and all the things.
No, we talked about you were in the.
Oh, was I?
Yeah.
You missed nothing.
Got through that while I was blowing my nose.
Yep.
We have talked almost not at all about Princess Buttercup and anything that she has said
or done.
We're
about to.
We've only been talking about the male characters.
We're about to. Because we're going to get to the end, the next part of my favorite 10 minutes of the movie.
Okay.
And it's not the tracker bit where the reenactment. It's the tumble down the hill.
As you wish.
I, And I love that that's the thing that gets her.
She talks about his eye color as he's staring her in the eye and right. doesn't get it.
But it's his subservience to her that attracts her, see? I'm not saying anything bad. I don't know that that's what they were going for. But I love that she's just like, fuck. And instantly does the tumble right after.
Well, and I think to your statement about us not talking about Buttercup much, I think Buttercup is just kind of a boring character.
Well, as I'm like sitting here contemplating this, I'm like, is it that she genuinely just doesn't do that much in the movie up until this point? Or do you guys just not care?
I don't think she's captured.
Yeah, but she's also just not, like, if it was,
aside from she if it was trying to swim.
Carrie Fisher as Princess Buttercup, we'd be talking about this, about her the entire movie.
But even if it was written the same way?
Yes. No, well, I don't know if Carrie Fisher would have just sat there and taken the writing of it that way. But I don't think Robin, there's nothing herself. Wrong with Robin Wright's performance in this film, no. But when you have these big characters like Wallace Shawn and Andre and
everyone else Diego is Montoya, a caricature.
Right. They're so big.
She's straight.
She gets lost in the shuffle.
Yeah.
As someone who often gets stuck playing the straight, I understand.
Hey, it's not always like that. Phil Hartman was great.
Yeah, and sometimes the straight gets the attention, but it just doesn't happen here.
Well, that's the thing. When everything around you is chaos, you should stand out somewhat.
Right.
But there's not, again, that's how it's written.
Yeah.
I don't think it's any fault of, she did what she could do with the most cliched lines you could think of. She doesn't even have any jokes.
Yeah.
Not really.
Now, Carol and to be Kane, fair,
I've seen a lot of Robin Wright over the years. I don't know if she can tell a joke.
That's fair.
She usually plays very serious characters. She's a very
stern woman in these parts. Being married to Sean Penn. I was going to say
she did marry Sean Penn, so you have to.
Yeah, you got to be thick-skinned.
Yeah, you guys are real Spicoli.
Mm-hmm.
This was before all that. This was her big.
This was her break.
This was her big break. Yeah.
Yeah, they even gave her the introducing.
Yeah.
Which I didn't realize. I'm like. So yeah, the tumble is the best part. Because, and it's just weird how quickly, like, okay, well, now we're together. Like, it's this, like, roller coaster of, like, but occasionally it stops. Somebody gets off and somebody else gets on. But the princess is on it the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
It's very strange. They enter, what is this cave called?
The cave or the swamp?
Oh, swamp.
The fire swamp?
Yeah. And we get a giant possum. Which is
that's a rodent of unusual size.
That was, I mean, I wrote rat at first.
I wanted more.
But I was like,
I think they're supposed to be rats. They're rodents of unusual size. Possums aren't rodents.
Yeah, but it looked like a possum.
It did. Like
it's in its face.
Well, I wanted more out of the rodents of unusual size. I will say that is one of the things that, even rewatching it, I'm like,
more than one should have been in there.
And I wanted more of it happening with them.
Yeah, and it was really dickish how he kills it.
Well, I mean, he's a pirate.
He's a dread pirate.
Is he really a pirate?
Yeah, he's the Dread Pirate Roberts.
But I thought...
Takes no prisoners.
Yeah, it makes sense. Whatever.
I think they should have made it a pet.
But, yeah.
I don't think it wanted to be a pet.
Yeah. You see that tail?
I think
he
was trying to eat them.
A rattlesnake tail.
I mean, Nick Frost tries to eat Simon Pegg at the end of Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah, but they had a relationship prior to that.
Fair enough.
Yeah, they felt a closeness.
Mm-hmm.
Close enough to eat it.
I'm sorry, Sean.
That whole thing is very abbreviated. Of all the, like, actually a lot of, again, you probably don't want to watch this for like 2 hours. But there's, everything is
very simple. Quick in and quick out, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's a hallmark of kids' movies.
I know.
Kids' attention spans are short.
I'm sorry
so is Amanda's.
I'm sorry for my evolution.
I can still enjoy kids' movies. I don't know. I mean, we all enjoyed Up.
I can watch it. Yeah, but there's so much more to that.
There's a lot more depth to Up. I will say that's...
I like movies like that. And even like the Weird Al movie. And I think I talked to you about the Weird Al movie. Where your level of familiarity or intelligence it like doesn't matter if you're going to enjoy it. It just matters what level you enjoy it.
Sure.
Like I knew a lot of the references from the Weird Al movies. So, like, and I, you know, and I know that that style of humor. So like, I'm getting all the jokes because every joke's like three jokes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like Up is sort of like that. Everything's weighted.
Sure.
And yeah, this isn't meant to do that.
No, and it's not. It is not meant to do that. I will say that.
And that's why I have to catch myself. But like, that's just the objective eye. Like I can't really worry about the audience, in my honest opinion. But I can still temper expectation, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But it's hard for me to be like, so much of this is just like not resolved in any way. Like it just anyway. Yeah, because they literally get through the cave and then
right swamp.
Swamp.
Still a swamp, yeah.
It had stalactites.
It was like moss hanging from the trees.
No, they went into a hole in the wall. That's not a swamp.
The rats were in the swamp. They fell into quicksand.
I skipped that part. In the notes. All right, maybe the scene was not as short as I remembered.
Wow. Oh, God.
Because, yeah, I'm like, oh, yeah, didn't write anything about the quicksand.
I mean, to be fair, out of all of this movie, the stuff in the swamp is probably the least memorable part of the movie.
Yeah. Should be more, it should be more, you know, Han cutting open the tauntaun. And...
Or the trash compactor scene in the first one. Yeah, yeah, I get what you're saying.
A little more
high stakes.
A little more actual peril.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And then, but now I'm supposed to be scared of all these, Nancys. As soon as I come out of here.
Well, they got a Humperdinck.
They do got a Humperdinck, and they've got a seventh guest. Oh.
Terrible.
I know.
Terrible.
As soon as I said, I'm like, I want that back.
You should have said house guest, at least.
Yeah, that would have been better. But yeah, right away, it's like, okay, he's defeated this thing, and you could knock out Andre, for fuck's sake. Can't, all right, well, whatever. We're just going to surrender. Like Anchorman, like, all right, I'll marry the Humperdinck.
Well, it was to save, like, she was trying to save him.
You mean to tell me he couldn't have gotten away from them?
She didn't want to risk it. She just got this love of the love of her life back. She didn't want any harm to befall him.
Hey, man, some things are earned, some are not. This is not.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Promise me, guy I have no respect for.
That's fair. That's fair. The naivete of thinking his word was worth anything is pretty strong.
That's really what it like. And I'm pretty sure freaking Farm Boy knows it.
Oh, yeah, he knows it.
He's kind of the Luke in this.
He's a Farm Boy. Kind of the Luke.
Kind of the Luke.
He comes back as a sort of, well, Jedi wearing black.
There you go.
And then he's like, I'm a prince.
Hey.
My Schwartz is as big as yours.
Sorry, I had to bring us back to Spaceballs.
Of course you did.
And yeah, and so... Of course, the first thing they do is not just bring him back to his ship. No, we're going to give you this weirdly elaborate yet not sound in any kind of way torture device.
In the Pit of Doom with the albino.
Yeah, I didn't know. I didn't catch his name.
I just know he's called the albino because it's in the credits.
That's what I was going to say. I don't think he gets one.
Dude loves his job.
Oh, yeah, he does.
I just referred to him as... weird chap that can't maintain his weird voice.
But he will break the fourth wall.
I actually like that he, just as a reminder that this is sort of like technically it's a old man reading this book.
Right.
Like he can't do that. He tries the voice. Forget it.
It's a little bit of like his character is a little bit of like a Carol Burnett, like winking to the audience. In a way.
Isn't he,
I don't know him from anything else.
I
like,
know
he looks
I've
very
seen
familiar,
him,
but I couldn't
like
tell
he
you.
Must have been in some sort of Mel Brooks bit part somewhere.
Yeah. Well, he's got a bit of a Dom DeLuise vibe.
Yes, I actually thought it was him at first. That's who
fair enough.
Or actually, like it on a level where I was like, "Fuck, is that Dom DeLuise?" Because it seemed like a very Dom DeLuise thing.
Type character, yeah.
And because I still am in this alternate reality where I think this
stupid movie
directed by Mel Brooks by proxy.
There'd be a lot more like just rapid fire jokes in this movie if it was with Mel Brooks.
But he'd also let some just really linger even longer that
would
be like uncomfortable. It's at that point where, Kevin Arnold tries to correct the grandpa when he gets to the part of the, he gets to the part of the pending union of who I will call either Humper Cup or Butt Humper.
Wow.
I don't know which one I want to choose.
I like Humper Cup.
It's got...
It has a better ring to it.
It has a better ring to it, but Butt Humper really like just hits it right on the nose.
Or somewhere else, apparently.
Humper Cup. Let's go with Humper Cup.
Okay. I didn't really... I mean... I feel like the only reason for this dream sequence is for the booing lady.
Oh,
Boo.
She's my,
you had true love.
If she's still alive, I want booing lady to be my spiritual advisor.
Speaking of Mel Brooks people, like that role would have been, what's her name? I just lost her name. That was Frau Blücher.
Shit.
What?
Not always.
You know who I'm talking about, though.
That Madeline Kahn.
No.
There you go. No? Oh, that's who I thought you were.
No, Frau Blücher was, what's her name? She looked like she was 80 her entire life. Hilarious.
Linda Hunt.
No, damn it.
I don't know. Carol Channing?
No.
I'm just saying names.
No, I've actually seen Carol Channing. See, you get confused with some of those because, like, Stockard Channing always kind of looked.
Channing Tatum.
Well, that's because we were introduced to Stockard Channing as a 40-year-old teenager in Greece.
Oh, yeah.
Hold on. I can't believe I can't remember her name. She's one of the funniest people of all time. Cloris Leachman.
Oh.
That would have told, if Mel Brooks had directed this movie, that would have been Cloris Leachman.
You know what's really bizarre? I almost said Charlotte Ray.
I don't know who that is.
Mrs. Garrett.
Interesting.
And the fact I've never known her as anything besides Mrs. Garrett.
I saw her in a Law and Order. It was really weird. But weird because Cloris Leachman ended up being the Mrs. Garrett replacement for the last like two seasons of Facts of Life.
Cloris Leachman was so great.
Not in that show.
No, but just across the board.
That show didn't just jump the shark by then. It had jumped in the shark. The shark had ate them and chummed them up somewhere.
Chummed them up.
I chose the less graphic.
Boo!
Thank you. But yeah, so we see the torture device for the first time, and I'm like, what the hell is this thing supposed to do? It seems both brilliant and insipid at the same time.
I mean, the explanation makes it, because it is a ridiculous device.
Yes.
But the idea that it sucks life out of you.
Yeah. I'm like, I can see that as an actual torture device. Like just
not people just
temple pressure. Unless you've got really bad sinuses, it might help you.
I mean, well, they kind of did the same thing in The Dark Crystal, where they sucked out the Gelfling's essence.
But now they just do
that. Those are all puppets.
They just do that on your back, and it's supposed to be really good.
That's true. Yeah. It's really disconcerting.
I see the marks they leave seems
Lovecraftian.
I don't.
I just got stung by a jellyfish like 13 times. It was great.
Yeah, it just looks like the Kraken was just up on your back.
No worries. Someone peed on me.
God, Dave.
What is the Musketeer's name again?
Inigo Montoya.
His name is Inigo Montoya.
You kill my father.
Also, by the way, now I at least know where Mick Foley got that. Because I never understood, because there was Aldo Montoya, he did an acceptance speech as Mankind and said, I'd like to thank my father, Aldo Montoya! And then later, he turns on Aldo Montoya and claims that Aldo Montoya killed his father. So now I get it.
It's a Darth Vader thing.
Now I get it. Okay, so
wrestling's weird.
I mean, yeah.
Hey, you had to know when Andre got involved
that there'd be some wrestling talk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, so yeah, I forgot his name again. Well, I'll just say Montoya, because I can't seem to remember that.
Yeah,
Montoya the Musketeer. He returns along with Andre. Well after
Andre sobers him up.
Yeah, Andre basically. I like that he just randomly beats the shit out of that guy.
Just back and forth in the water barrels is hilarious.
And he's putting the band back together.
Yeah.
So they go to they want to seek an alliance with the farm boy pirate man
because they can't because
they need him to defeat
30 men
the 30 men and the six most importantly the six fingered second most terrible or third most terrible Rogan.
Oh wow, Joe,
Seth.
Oh,
Joe, yeah. Seth, and
this one,
Christopher Guest.
Also known as the man that killed the Musketeer's father and switched the samples of Provasic.
What?
Fugitive.
Oh.
You switched the samples! Anyway.
I've seen that movie several times, too, and didn't know what you were talking about.
Gene Lynch has a cameo.
Well, there's a six-fingered man.
Right, like right. Yeah. I get it now.
He's accused of his wife's murder.
I know. I felt so bad for Harrison Ford that whole movie.
Look, Amanda, especially there are outhouses, whorehouses, shithouses, henhouses.
Ham houses?
Ham houses.
Brick houses. Waffle houses.
Ooh, I love a good waffle house.
I've never been. I really want to. Oh, yeah. But not at 3 in the morning.
That's when you're supposed to go.
No. I don't need that.
Everybody I live at least that. Once.
Nick and I are usually there at like 6 or 7 in the morning because that's our like traditional stop on the way down to New Orleans.
Well, most people, I would think by then it's mostly normal commuter folk.
Yeah.
It is mostly, yeah.
It's usually calm at that point in time.
But the this new trio cannot, alas, happen as...
Wesley's dead.
As he did.
Just... Mostly
he's
dead.
He's mostly dead.
Mostly. I love that we get that. He's mostly dead.
After the prince turned the torture device all the way up, it doesn't just go to 11.
Well, yeah. So, that was nice.
See, I've never seen that movie, and I still got that reference.
It's such a great... But that's the scene works. Itself, when he says it, is great.
I've actually only seen clips when they showed it on Saturday Night Live.
I love the moment when Inigo and Fezzik are outside... in the forest trying to find the entrance and the albino is there. And he goes like, you know, like force the information out of him. And he just hits him in the head and knocks him out. He goes, I did it too hard.
I'm going to get on IMDb and try to figure out what else the albino has been in.
Okay. Thank you. Because I know, I feel like he was he Igor?
In
Young Frankenstein?
No, that was Marty Feldman.
Oh. Yeah, this dude is
he one... He has a similar vibe,
this dude
yeah.
is one odd eye away from being Marty Feldman.
Yeah, he's very close to it in that energy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he's like this guy you just bring in for a weird factor.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, you know, this we need something really it's weird like, in this scene.
It's like Ron Howard's brother. Like,
Clint.
Yeah. Clint. Oh, yeah.
Anytime you bring in Clint Howard, there's a reason.
It's usually that Ron Howard's working on it.
Aww. Also, Clint Howard is just a strange-looking man.
Yeah,
he is.
I mean, there was a time when that was what Steve Buscemi was getting cast for. It was just that weirdness.
He was cast as a child on Star Trek because he looked like an alien. So it doesn't go all the way up to 11. Reiner upped the ante in this movie and went to 15.
Yep.
And now... The joy takes a big dip for me.
Because of Billy Crystal?
But thankfully, this doesn't last very long. I was led to believe that, like, he's not in, like, somebody told me before I watched it, like, he's not in it very much.
He's not.
And I'm like, you say that.
What do you...
And then I watched it, and I'm like, feels like it was like 30 seconds.
What do you, what is, I don't think I knew you didn't like Billy Crystal that much.
He's never done anything I've really enjoyed.
Soap?
No, I don't, at least I don't like him on Soap.
City Slickers?
Ugh, garbage.
Wow, I love City Slickers.
I hate City Slickers.
And that's just Mr. Saturday Night.
Never saw it.
Me neither.
I swear, I told somebody yesterday or the other day, I'm like, I only think I ever liked him as Sammy Davis Jr.
Okay, I know what you mean. Interesting.
But granted, I haven't seen a lot, but I haven't seen anything I've enjoyed.
This was the perfect combination for you, Billy Crystal and Carol Kane.
Oh, I like that she slaps him around.
That's fair.
Because if there's somebody I have to side with in this, it's going to be her. And I like it when she beats dudes up, frankly, because her turn in Scrooged where she decks Bill Murray is pretty great, too. And that's mostly because she's dressed up as a fairy, and it's really hilarious.
I personally like Carol Kane. I know she rubs a lot of people the wrong way.
Exactly to your point, this was like... If they would have sprinkled them throughout the movie,
mm-hmm. It would have been too much.
And then Wallace Shawn, fuck it. I'm throwing out my TV.
Okay.
Or at least I'm muting the rest of the movie. I'll throw closed captioning.
It would be a lot of yelling.
But thankfully, Wallace Shawn died an hour ago.
Yep.
So I've had this relative peace up until now, and the fact that literally they're literally there as a MacGuffin.
Yeah, they are a MacGuffin. Yeah,
there's no character because there's no time.
I mean, the only thing we get out of it is that he was fired by Humperdinck.
Right. We get a very easy motive for why he would do it would save the prince's life for such little, or not a prince, farm boy.
Yeah, Wesley.
Wesley.
What? Yeah. Say it like Mr. Belvedere.
Wesley.
Perfect.
Wesley.
Just as good. Wesley. Oh man, I love Mr. Belvedere. but yeah, we at least get the reason as to why he would do this, save the farm boy's life for so little money. We need that little piece. That's all we needed. And we get a little, the dynamic between him and, I forgot her name, like Carol Kane.
It's like, isn't it like Wanda or something?
Might be.
Maybe.
Hell, I didn't even remember his name until I saw the credits.
Miracle I have Max. To admit, I always get these two characters confused with the two character, the little tiny characters in the hole in the Neverending Story.
Oh, I can see that.
I got Marvelous Max confused with
Miracle Max.
Fuck, who cares?
Inigo Montoya, Miracle Max.
The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Oh, Miracle Max really just looks like yogurt.
He does look like yogurt.
So as you can see,
that's another parallel.
There. How could these two movies exist at the exact same time?
But yogurt is, let's be, this it's is, a very this different quantifiably character. Clear, yogurt is a better character than Miracle Max.
Well, that's unquestioned.
Yes.
But,
Oh, yogurt's a character? I thought you were just referring to the weird-ass old age makeup that just made him look like yogurt.
He did just look like they found some random...
No, we're talking about yogurt from Spaceballs.
I've only seen Spaceballs once.
They spackled some curds to his face.
Spaceballs the doll!
I've done that kind of old age makeup. It's usually like cotton or something, and then you put the wax over it, and it looks weird. It
looks like cottage cheese.
Yeah, I can see that.
But he's dressed... Like, the color scheme and everything is very, yogurt. Very it's very yogurt. Weird. I did write, hopefully their magical MacGuffin is the last we hear from them. And it was.
Yeah.
Everyone wins.
Woohoo.
I'm sure those two got a nice paycheck because they were probably at the peak of their popularity around that time.
I think at least Billy, I think, is friends with Rob. And so he was probably just like, yeah, you want
to... Oh, that... Yeah, you know what? I don't know if When Harry Met Sally was out yet.
No, I think that was after this.
I think it was after this.
I feel like that was, later 80s or early 90s even.
So somewhere in there.
I haven't seen that either.
Don't Me neither.
None of us have.
Which means that it's up for grabs in this.
You know, as I was looking through the list today, I was like, oh yeah, none of us have seen that. You know, and I'm still not going to pick it.
We should have a poll. Let people pick the movie, like give them like five choices of, like first one to like 10 votes or something.
You think we'll get to 10 votes?
Fine.
I'm probably the first one that gets any votes.
Fine. I don't give a shit.
But a poll?
Yeah, so that none of us are using one of our choices.
Fair enough, because I've been thinking about doing that, like picking a movie that none of us have seen.
Yeah, I mean, there are a few on there that I would like to do that too, but... And then maybe give a wild card, just like, hey, if there's another suggestion. Obviously, they don't know what our list is.
Right.
But, you know, we'll take suggestions. Yeah. I'd like a reason. I'd like someone to be still telling us what we're doing.
That's
like,
fair.
And it's weird for, like, if you're endorsing, if you're picking a movie, that's an endorsement.
Usually.
Usually, yeah.
Unless you're Amanda and you're just like, hey, I saw this once. Who gives a shit?
Yeah, I definitely have picked any of my beloved childhood classics that you all fucking destroyed.
I think Heather's is kind of
you might have given Heather's the lowest grade.
That's fair, but that's because I didn't remember enough about it. Like, I remembered not being totally enamored with it, but I thought I might appreciate it more now. And
see, that's a weird way to go into this.
It was middling when I saw it. Let's see if it's not middling anymore.
Yeah.
My,
I didn't care for this.
My tastes have changed and evolved as I've gotten older.
Yeah, but you should know that.
There are a lot of things that I didn't understand that I appreciate more now, and there are a lot of things that I loved that now I'm like, oh, that's not good.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
And that's where the rewatching of it can be fun.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But going into it where you're like, eh. maybe.
I mean, I didn't
not the approach
remember I why I... wasn't excited about it, and rewatching it as an adult, I was like, "Oh wow!"
Let's get back to finishing this movie.
We're almost there.
Yeah, because we're getting close.
Almost there.
So their goal. Obviously, they have to fight through these 30 dudes.
60 now.
Is it 60?
So they turned Andre into even more of a giant.
Yeah, they turned him into a French
horse. Grandpa Roberts.
Yeah, they tried to do a French horse.
Oh, instead of a Trojan horse?
Yeah.
Weirdly
setting him on fire.
Yeah, that was weird to me. Rewatching it, I'm like, what? They just set him on fire.
One of the things that was weird to me is the obvious back and forth between, like, a weird stick mannequin on the wheelbarrow and actually them in the costume. Like, why didn't they just film it all the same?
This whole movie, like, they were very cavalier with how much screen time the stunt doubles got.
Fair.
I'm like, that's definitely not Cary Elwes right there. That's interesting.
I swear there were different color hair. Because there were moments where I was like, is that supposed to be? I'm like, oh, I know I'm not like totally tripping here. I'm
no,
like,
and I think it's intentional. I do.
I do. Well, it.
Yeah. I mean, it's not the Spaceballs.
No, it's not.
Scene,
it's not throwing it brilliant. In your. It's not throwing it in your face and then be and then drawing attention to it. Look what we're doing.
Yeah.
This is more just like, it's almost like Black Dynamite.
Mm.
You ever see Black Dynamite?
No, I haven't.
Nope.
It's on the list. But it's blaxploitation.
Sure.
Like, yeah. But an homage.
Right.
So occasionally, like, a boom might just fall, is like falling in the sea and stuff like that.
Nice.
So it's like.
It's those little things that they
Yeah. The little touches that to remind you, you're watching a silly ass movie.
Mm-hmm.
But the wedding is about to start, and we get the most unexpected voice. That is the, like, I know that's been referenced before. I was not prepared for what's going to come
prepared.
Out of that man.
You're never prepared for
Dave,
it.
Dave, you're one of the only people that, like, you know, having a friend perform your wedding ceremony. Dave actually performed my wedding ceremony, and he didn't see this movie, and therefore did not reference this movie.
Interestingly enough. You are the only person on this podcast that has not officiated a wedding.
That's true. And nobody's ever asked.
Neither of us have referenced the Princess Bride as officiants.
No.
AJ did, didn't he?
Yes,
I'm fairly certain I didn't reference anything except for embarrassing details.
I mean, that's what you should
do. None of them were that embarrassing.
Oh, then you failed.
It was definitely all true.
Oh, then you definitely failed.
It would be stupid shit, like the weight of the... you know, like you're together like 13 years or whatever, mm-hmm. shit like that. I'm not up there to roast people.
I would not have appreciated that at my wedding. I would have roasted. That's for the reception.
I would have roasted the people who skipped the ceremony.
Roasting that is usually, my husband's family.
Roasting is usually the best man speech.
And then they all asked me to read them the thing during the reception. Like, could you just read the speech? Like, why do you think that's the same?
Watch a
video.
Know.
Fuck. Somebody taped it.
So gives a shit. This becomes a rushed wedding.
Yeah. It just kind of whatever. Everything just erupts into chaos.
Boo.
But I really enjoyed the Montoya.
Yep.
Why is it so hard for you to remember his name?
He says his name a million times.
He does,
but he says it in a weird way.
Hello,
my name is Inigo Montoya. Montoya.
You're going to tell me that's normal. To die. How he's saying it is not how it's spelled.
Inigo?
Inigo.
Yeah.
Is that what he's saying?
Inigo.
Yeah, my name is Inigo.
Well,
Montoya.
A lot of people think that he says Indigo because I've seen it spelled Indigo.
Yeah.
But it's Inigo.
It's Inigo.
It's his pronunciation.
He's Spanish.
Yeah.
Oh, so I want to bring this up because they talk about actual places in this movie, like Greenland and Spain. And obviously they're living in a fictitious land. And I love the fact that they do that.
Yeah. Like somehow Narnia is next right. door to Reno.
Cleveland. It's kind of hilarious to me that they did that.
But when the fighting starts to break up, my favorite thing is that Montoya confronts Rogan in the hallway.
He runs away.
there's only the slightest of feints as though he's going to fight.
Yeah, there's like the half a beat.
It's
there.
Just like,
Oh, he's like, you have six fingers.
You know who would have been good there? Robin Colcord.
Oh. I don't know who that is. Is it another wrestler?
No, Robin Colcord was a character from Cheers, but he also played the Sheriff of Rottingham in Robin Hood Men in Tights.
But it's way more fun to say Robin Colcord.
I don't know his real name. All I know him is Robin Colcord.
It's Roger Reese.
Robin Colcord. That's what I heard.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I guess my commentary here is like, it was jokes like this that land about 20% of the time, but they happen so randomly that there's just a general sense of just disjointedness.
There are some really great jokes in this movie.
But it seems like you're just trying, some of them are just tries too hard. And
sure.
And I get it. You got to hit the kids over the head like a whack-a-mole so they get the damn joke. But fuck, laying it on way too thick for me. And yet some of them are just like too dumb. There's a level, or there's a wrong dumb.
I like dumb jokes sometimes. Like I do like too, the but dumb joke of Inigo like ramming his full body into the door and not being able to get it, and then Andre coming up and just knocking on it and it falls over.
I love that Andre was just like chilling in the hallway, basically.
Well, he was holding Wesley.
Oh, right. Oh, that's right. And so he's just kind of
onto the night armor.
And it just like, hold on. I gotta take care of this.
Yep.
Okay, now you can fight.
Yeah.
And the fight itself, kind of weird.
You know what I like about the fight?
What?
Is the fact that the entire time he just keeps saying, hello, my name is Inigo Montoya, you killed my father, prepare to die. But the intensity keeps amping up, and I just really love the way Mandy Patinkin did that. Like, it was just so fun to watch that, like, growth within those few words.
Well, that's all he had ever thought about saying to this guy.
Which is hilarious.
So he just keeps saying it over and over and over again.
Can't say anything else. This is what I'm saying to this guy.
I'm going to say, I knew Mandy Patinkin was in this movie.
Yeah.
And I'd forgotten that he was in the movie. Credits. I'm like, that was Mandy Patinkin.
You seriously didn't recognize him?
You probably think of him from like Criminal Minds or something.
I think he looks just like Mandy Patinkin.
Him from like Dead Like Me or the Claire Danes show. Not My So-Called Life. Don't do it.
Homeland.
Well,
and to be fair, this is probably the most over the top role in film and television that you've seen Mandy Patinkin can do.
Yeah, he's usually a pretty grounded performance. Right,
and this is so out of pocket.
There were times early on, I was like, who the fuck is this guy?
See, I had the opposite of thing happened to me. So I'd seen Princess Bride, and then I watched like an episode of Criminal Minds. I'm like, how is this the same fucking person?
You know what? This is, and I hear he's notoriously very difficult to work with. I get why, because shit, man, he's in it.
Yeah.
He will not tolerate less than 100.
I will say, like Ray Liotta in that way. I always heard Ray Liotta was, that intensity was real.
Yeah.
It was, like a Daniel Day-Lewis kind of thing.
Yeah, but the Ray Liotta, I'm pretty sure it was cocaine fueled.
Yeah, probably.
I will say though, it worked. Like everybody in this movie genuinely, like actors wise, it feels like they genuinely like each other. And I know all of them had a fondness for Andre.
I didn't even think about that. Yeah. I was just thinking of
I think they all just had fun making this movie. Yeah. I mean, there's a reason that a handful of them came back to recreate it in bits during COVID.
Yeah.
But they all played different roles.
Like Fred Savage was at one point the grandpa, but then Carl and Rob Reiner did the grandpa son bit at the end, which was cool.
Oh, weird.
It was cool. It was right before Carl died.
Well, I was going to say, it couldn't have been that long ago. Yeah.
It was during COVID.
And it's where we learned that Jason Segel does a fantastic Andre the Giant impersonation.
I could totally see that.
He does a great job.
It's a great Andre.
I mean, he sort of has a Frankensteinish look to him. I could see that. As well.
He could be on somebody's Hear Me Out cake.
So if anybody is not aware that was a thing happened during COVID, a bunch of celebrities got together in their own homes during isolation,
yeah,
and they recreated like scenes. two minutes at a time.
There've been a lot of these. There were people who'd redid.
Jack Black did one.
They redid a lot of the original cast, Sean Penn included. They did Fast Times.
I
was only aware of Princess Bride.
I would not be interested in rewatching Fast Times.
Rewatching, but
it's in any form.
But it wasn't even care
for that movie.
Me neither.
But it was like, I think Jennifer Aniston was like Phoebe Cates's
right
or something. Okay,
like that. So it wasn't like Sean Penn was like the one person.
But this was like
because they wanted people that
each scene was different. Different celebrities doing the scenes. Mm-hmm. So like there was one scene where Jack Black was Inigo Montoya. There was a scene like where So it was literally just people at their homes like recreating scenes.
I love that this
like the rolling down the hill was literally somebody dressed up mannequins and threw them down a hill at their house.
Yeah. Well, what? Why the hell are you doing that for nothing?
Well, because it was during the shutdown.
So I know, but why would a person take a tumble down the
hill?
You could just roll down a hill. I've done it. It's fun. As long as it's not
like that.
People
not
do
like
that. Cheese.
Unless you get in the Wonder Wheel. I love that became a thing. Like that, I even really enjoyed that that thing that CBS was doing where they would have they would do classic episodes of like Norman Lear shows.
Mm.
And redo it with modern actors and there were a lot of really good ones. Like
there was some creativity that came out of
Woody Harrelson, I think, is Archie.
Oh, I could see that.
Yeah,
we're so close to the end of the movie.
I know.
Let's get there.
Well, we kind of are there.
Kind of. We get the scene with
what we were just talking about was at least relevant to the movie.
Yeah, I know, but we're getting close, and I want us to get through it.
Me too.
Same.
I even closed my notes. I'm done.
We get the scene with Wesley in the bed.
Right.
Oh, we also get a moment with the king and Buttercup. And this is like the only time we get to hear the king talk. And I'm like, I wanted him more in this movie.
The king is a good dude.
And then he's like, the princess kissed me.
He's oblivious, but he's a good dude.
Yeah.
Well, ignorance is bliss.
Yeah, for most people, it's true.
Yeah. But yeah, we get the showdown between Wesley and Hopperdink.
I did like the stream of insults.
As soon as he's just like, stop insulting me. Nobody's ever done it before. He's like, oh.
It's such an undignified way to go, but like, I appreciate a good needle.
Yeah. And the whole, maybe I can't walk. Maybe I can.
That I didn't really care for as much, but it was like, but I love the description of what he's going to do to him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, okay, and then my eyes. No.
not the ears, because then you'll be able to hear what they're saying.
Yeah, what? That might have been my, right before that might have been my favorite line. Your ears you could keep. Like, what a weird thing to say, but I, like, this is dastardly. That's that pirate coming out. He's cursing like a sailor pirate.
I feel like
Dread Pirate.
So then we get the end where they all jump down onto the horses that, that Fezzik brings. I feel like Andre was drunk when they shot that scene.
He did not look like he was. He looked like he was literally using those horses to hold.
He's like, I found the person's horses.
Like thank God these things are wasted. At least 500.
I knew he always had to talk like that. Thank God
these things weigh almost about as much as me. I can hold two of them.
It's like they shot this last or something, and he was like, "What? The rap party hasn't started yet."
Yeah. And it. Yeah, well, they were on a soundstage, you know, and they just threw some sand down. So he went into full Marg mode. And
oh, man. Here's my issue with the ending of this movie. They leave the country in the hands of Humperdinck.
They're not heroes, is the point.
Fair enough.
Like they run off.
I mean, we didn't talk about the fact that Buttercup was literally ready to run a knife through her heart.
Oh, yeah, she was going to kill herself.
When they stopped her.
Oh, that was a weird thing to hear in a kid's movie, too, his reaction.
Oh, like, something about a fine breast or something?
Yeah, I'd be ashamed to pierce it. So I'm like,
such a fine breast. I'm like, whoa.
Oh, like
Wesley!
Yeah, oh my!
That was the sauciest thing you've
said. That was a Robin of Loxley type thing to say.
That was a guy talking to Alicia Silverstone who's way too young for you, sort of.
Oh yeah, yeah. It ends kind of funny.
May as well leave a used condom in a wastebasket or something.
But yeah, the fact that they leave Humperdinck in power basically
is kind of the same thing.
It's, you know, it's super I never thought about that.
I didn't think about it until last night when I rewatched it, and I was like, "Holy shit!"
But I think that's what I like about the story. It's like, no, we weren't here to like liberate a fucking
fuck the people.
Like, no, man, this is a love story.
Miracle Max is gonna be pissed when he finds out.
Look, dude, we fought through 60. We're not here to run a government.
We fought through 60 guys.
Like, we're not here to run a government. All right, I'm gonna take my giant and my giant and my Spaniard friend.
That was a Billy Crystal movie.
Worst giant.
My giant?
Yeah. Way worse giant.
It was not a good move.
At the very least, a way less athletic, even though he's in the NBA, still.
Yeah.
Andre would have whooped him.
So yeah, that's the Princess Bride.
Yeah. I don't think it's... I
Did you hate it as much as you thought you were going to? Was it at least okay?
Well, I'm grading on the U scale.
Where, on the me scale?
Where you talk about how, like when you say stuff, is like, oh, that's okay, I wouldn't watch it again. Like,
yeah.
And
I did kind of like I did with Trainspotting on our last episode.
But usually when you say that, it's like, five.
Like, I don't think I've given anything a five.
I think you gave one a Nick's. I think
you Doctor Strangelove.
I think you I think
did. Did I Strangelove. Give it a five?
Yeah, because you're a dick.
Maybe even
I
lower
just
than
didn't
that,
like it.
Well, before we score, we've got the other thing to do.
Favorite weirdo?
Yeah.
This movie is another movie full of weirdos.
I know exactly who my favorite weirdo is.
And I never
is,
think about my favorite weirdo until you ask.
Well,
it's just not
the last
a
couple
thing
times
I think about.
It feels like it's been kind of hard.
This one was not hard
well,
for
this
me.
One, well, this one, again, you're spoiled for choice.
Yeah.
I mean, to say weirdo in this movie is to say Buttercup.
Oh,
I mean, she is kind of
the
odd man out.
That argument of the odd man out, yeah. That's fair.
But that's not what we're doing. That's not the segment.
Yeah.
Well, Nick has a favorite weirdo.
I do.
He knows he does,
it's
so.
100% the albino.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I looked that up.
Yeah, you were supposed to be doing that.
Mel Smith? Is that his name?
Mel Torme.
Yeah, something like that. Mel Torme. I let my phone turn off and now it's loading. Okay, yeah, Mel Smith. The only thing that I feel like any of us would have seen him in is National Lampoon's European Vacation. He was the hotel manager.
Oh, my That's God. Nothing. I haven't seen European Vacation since I was a child.
There's not. The things that he's known... I went through the whole list. The things that he's known for. Princess Bride. National Lampoon's. Alas, Smith and Jones.
Never heard of
Alias.
Or is it Alas?
It says Alas. A-L-A-S.
I've never heard of it. Oh, it's a TV show?
Not the 9 o'clock news. Those are the only four things that he's quote-unquote known for. Yes, he's also dead. He passed away in 2013. R.I.P. So add him to the list of people that were in this movie that passed away.
R.I.P.
But yeah, I mean, this is all from the 2000s. But even like the
Brain Donors.
Brain Donors? Okay.
I don't know it.
No, but that's a movie that's I put on the list. Oh. With John Turturro.
Ooh, I love John Turturro.
He's the Australian cab driver.
Oh, okay. But do any of these others sound familiar at all?
Dave found his thing. It's fine.
No longer matters.
But yeah,
that's what you know him from. I'm going to make
Mel Smith our first repeat actor.
Oh God! So
luckily
yeah,
he doesn't get to pick a movie this time.
Definitely my favorite weirdo though. His lustful joy of his job and the fact that he
his crusty mouth.
The fact that he would smile right into the camera for you. It was great. I loved him. Perfect weirdo to me.
Cool.
Cool. Thank you. Thank you for accepting that.
I don't accept everything you say, so you should be thankful.
Let's get a soundboard of that.
Cool.
I'm torn, honestly, because Boo Lady is definitely up there.
She's up there. She's good.
But the fucking vicar or priest or whatever. Holy shit. It's tough.
Do you like him, or were you just jarred by him?
Well, I think, and the fact that it elicited a reaction in me that did not get anything else in the movie was like it.
Fair enough.
So I might have to go with that for uniqueness alone.
So the vicar,
that's the weirdest thing in a movie full of weird.
That's fair.
I'm gonna go with the king because he's just. Happy so and sweet. Nice and like he's like the one good, truly good person in this movie, and it's because he has no idea what's going on.
Yeah, he wouldn't dare just call some kid a farm boy.
Yeah.
Oh, farm boy, take me out in the field.
As you wish.
Yeah. Okay. It's a weird dynamic that I hope does not continue in the
relationship. I guess. We're at scores and final thoughts?
I think we're at scores and final thoughts.
I gave my final thoughts 2 hours ago.
So give your score then.
Don't make me start.
Okay.
I mean, usually it's the person who hasn't seen it.
All right, we'll do it. All right. I waffled a lot on this.
I like waffles.
Mm-hmm. And houses.
What's that? Every Waffle House.
The worst thing at Waffle House is the waffles, though.
Oh, what a bummer.
The hash browns are
they're like out. Super they're thin. It's very weird.
Who the hell would eat a thin waffle?
Belgians? Not Belgians. Who was it? Makes Stroop waffles?
Belgians is the opposite.
Whoever makes Stroop waffles?
The Swedes?
Is it Swedes?
Norwegians.
Somebody in that area. Yeah. They make Stroop waffles. Those are very thin. Thinner than Waffle House waffle.
Street waffles.
Stroop.
Street.
Stroop waffle.
So they're the ones that basically make the waffle cone out of.
Yeah,
Stroop waffles are, they're almost like cookies, but then they're usually filled with caramel. They're actually really tasty.
That's not a waffle. You gotta fill it with syrup.
Its name literally has waffle.
And fried in butter.
It's got the grid of a waffle.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna air fry one of those.
Okay.
I mean, that sounds great.
Are we just avoiding giving the score?
No.
Give the score.
I said waffling, and you guys started talking about waffles.
Look, I haven't eaten yet today, okay?
Me
Let's
either,
get through this.
And I'm not getting waffles. It's very disappointing.
Oh, okay, Leslie, nope.
How dare you?
There are way worse people that you can be compared to than Leslie Nope.
No.
And her love for waffles.
Well, who doesn't?
That's fair.
Gluten intolerant people.
I have gluten-free waffles in my freezer.
Good job.
Dave's going to go eat some.
Hold on. Cool.
Fair.
That is fair.
I'm just going to round up to an even number. I'll give it a 6.
Okay.
And I don't know what it I think I had a candy in mind, but then I don't know. What did they eat in this place? Stupid thing. Didn't anybody eat anything in this entire movie?
They drank wine.
They did drink.
Fine. Those little soda bottle cap.
Oh, the wax things with the... Oh, those are so gross.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, you're not supposed to eat the wax, genius.
You have to bite it off to get to the...
Yeah.
Karo syrup in, inside him or whatever the hell it is. The high fructose corn syrup inside him. I don't think I've ever actually had one of those. They've always scared me.
Yeah,
they're
me
not,
too.
I mean, you're right. They're not good.
Okay. Do you want to give a score?
I'll give a score. I'm going to go with an 8. I've always enjoyed this movie. It's I don't think that I hold it to as high of a regard as a lot of people do. But it is a great movie. It's fun. And I'm going to give it 8 butterscotch candies.
Oh, see, I did that last time, butterscotches.
Oh, did you? That's right.
So I was like, I can't do butterscotches this
time.
Well,
I didn't do butterscotches last time, so.
So I will say that I this isn't a movie that I cherish like a lot of people. That being said, I...
That's what, yeah. It's not a cherish, but it's
but
good.
But at the same time, I really enjoy it. I think it is what it's intended to be.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's trying to be high art.
No.
And it's become such a huge part of the lexicon. Like, think about how many things from this movie we quote, or that even Dave has heard quoted, that he's like, oh, that's what this is from?
Well, and that's, again, part of that disconnect.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm going to give it 8.7.
Oh, okay.
If it had any actual substance to it, it would have a higher score. 8.7.
There's nothing wrong with giving complete fluff a good score if you enjoy it.
I guess 8.7.
Sometimes you just need a good fluff movie,
right,
too.
And that's what this is. Milk Duds.
Milk Duds. I like Milk Duds.
Yeah, but they don't have a lot of substance to them, and I think that's why I chose Milk Duds.
That'd be like Smarties.
They just get stuck in my teeth.
That's fair. Smarties
are
going to be a
bad Smarties are gross.
Yeah, like that's what I mean, but it's like literally just sweet chalk.
Blech.
You picked the bottles of soda, didn't you?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, but he didn't care for the movies, so.
That's fair. All right.
Well, it was because you said wine. I guess I could have gone with like root beer barrels or some shit.
Or bottle caps.
Bottle caps are horrendous. Root beer barrels are tasty because
bottle caps are the
best.
I
like root beers.
I like snow caps.
Bottle caps are the best.
I don't know if I've ever had a snow cap.
It's just chocolate with white dots.
I know what they are. I just don't think I've ever had one.
There's nothing cool.
But to be fair, if I'm at the movie theater and you're like, and they give me a box of fucking chocolate chips, I'll order that.
There are other things that I would have over there.
It's never something that I've ever chosen, and therefore that's why I've never had them. I know what they are.
But I used to really, put chocolate chips in like cream of wheat.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Interesting.
Yeah, but I got mad if it was the milk chocolate. I'm like, no, I need that semi-sweet because it's the right balance.
Fair enough. You got a little Bill Clinton-y there at the end.
Yeah. With the hand.
And he said, right balance.
Right balance.
Oh, boy.
All right, so that's
this
the princess. That's the princess bride.
Entertainment to stupidity for me.
So now it's time for our next movie.
Okay, so.
Bring it.
I was going through the list. Part of the issue with the list is finding something that we can find streaming for free somewhere.
Yeah,
because that is something that I always check so that
it's
we don't
tricky.
Have to pay for anything, or that I don't have to ask Nick the night before we're podcasting, give me some weird bootleg link for free, because he always finds it somewhere.
I'm like that.
So I'm going to, I chose something that weirdly Nick hasn't seen. This actually really surprised
me.
It's
always something that I haven't seen. What did you hear about that? Half the episodes are movies that I haven't seen.
Well, you've not seen a lot of really classic movies.
You guys haven't seen a lot of really classic movies either.
Apparently, I'm not a reliable narrator.
Well, this is one I think.
This is hilarious.
It's not so. Unlike a lot of my previous choices, this is not one that is like near and dear to my heart as a child.
Like
so hopefully, like Heather's, yeah. So
I find such a fondness for the
You probably won't hurt my feelings. But it is one that I think is important for everybody to see. I feel like it's sort of important.
It's a baby's day out.
Right now, too, since we'll probably be recording the next episode in early November.
Says you.
And I still can't believe you haven't. You have to have at least read the book.
Read the book?
Three Men and a Little Lady.
Yep. And Green Gables.
To Kill a Mockingbird.
Oh, yeah, I've read the book. I haven't seen the movie.
Okay. That's why it surprised me. Like, I feel like we watched this in school after we read the book, like, as an assignment.
I've seen, like, bits of it. I've never seen the whole movie.
But, yeah. So, and it, you know, you talk about how we haven't done any, like, old classics. That's an old classic. It is an old
classic.
But it's also a very well-done movie and very much worth watching. Yeah. And it's very close to the book, so.
Nice.
That does remind me, I think there's one on the list that I think we should nominate for one that we haven't watched. None of us have seen 12 Angry Men, right?
I have seen it.
I have. And I've read the book.
Since?
Yeah, since it went on the list, I've seen it.
You prick.
I liked it.
I know. Well, I wanted to watch it.
Well, I've seen Blazing Saddles since it went on the list. Yeah. So.
Which really broke my heart.
Sorry, blame my husband.
I thank you. I didn't really want to do that.
Someone told him you have to watch this and gave him the DVD, so yeah, we watched it.
That's what everybody says.
Yeah. So yeah, 12 Angry Men, or not 12 Angry Men.
Very much like this episode.
To Kill a Mockingbird. I think it's something that everyone should see. It's a classic.
It's got Gregory Peck.
It's got Gregory Peck.
Hear me out.
Gregory Peck's not a hear me out. Gregory Peck just goes on the cake.
I'm just being a jackass.
Especially young Gregory Peck.
What about Richard Peck?
I'm not sure who that is.
I think wasn't he the politician who was trying to get the Ghostbusters shut down?
Oh, you know what? I think he is. I think you're right.
That's not who I was thinking of at first, but I'm like, wait a minute. I think I said
the wrong name. The ginger guy, yeah.
Oh,
William
wow.
William Atherton.
So there you go. So our next episode will be To Kill a Mockingbird.
Yeah. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. If you want, you can rate and review us on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. You can follow us on Facebook at Films Like the First Time. You can leave suggestions or comments about the films or us or Cool on there as well. You
feel
can also
free to let me know if I'm having too much weed before the show.
Or not enough weed.
Or not enough.
Or just enough.
Just right.
You can also email us at Films Like... You can email us at memoriamdevelopment@gmail.com. But yeah, we appreciate you being a listener. You one person?
You.
Yeah.
Literally, we're pointing at you.
Look, do you not have friends? Could you maybe just, like, tell your friends to listen to an episode? Whoever you are.
I mean, our friends won't.
We'll try to ramble less if we actually get listeners.
Yeah, we'll ramble less or more if that's what you want, if that's what your cup of tea is.
Look, we stopped eating during podcasts because that was one of the suggestions.
We stopped eating.
Like a long time ago that
we just stopped.
Somebody was really angry about
ravenous.
It. We haven't eaten since the second episode of the show.
I have been drinking coffee during the whole podcast.
Yeah, she really has to pee. And she hasn't peed since the second episode of the show.
She blew her nose. She was allowed to get up for that.
Yeah, yes. She was allowed for that. She better not have peed during that time.
Okay. Anyway, thanks for listening, guys. Yeah. I'm Amanda.
I'm Nick.
I'm Dave.
Bye.
Dee.
Development.